You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The first time Koreeda Hirokazu visited this show to discuss his film Afterlife, listeners started calling the theater to find out the screening times even before our interview was over. His movies might well be described as quiet ones where nothing much happens, but they live on in your mind. His latest, Still Walking, concerns a family reunion over the course of a single summer day. It opens today at the IFC Center on 6th Avenue, and I'm so glad that it brings Koreeda Hirokazu here again, along with his translator, Chisato Uno. Welcome to our show.
Yokoso.
For Ryota, the main character here, this is a rare visit home. He brings along his new wife, a widow, and her 10-year-old son. And it's easy to see by little comments that there have been a lot of hurts over the years. This must have been a particularly difficult script to write, where each word can carry a lot of meaning.
24時間の間に起きる出来事というふうに一つの
I started with the restriction that the story would take place over just 24 hours. And in the progression of the story, you find out that the dark parts of people's hearts and their souls become revealed throughout, and the feelings that they've carried with them, the feelings they have towards their wives, husbands, children that have been hidden, come to the surface. And at the end of the movie, not everything becomes clear. There are some things that remain a mystery still, but I decide that would be the flow of this film. And it wasn't something that was too difficult to begin with, but ultimately, the challenge was figuring out when to reveal what secrets and how to time those secrets.
And what to have people say and not say, because a lot of what we learn in this film actually is unspoken.
I always
thought it was a very Japanese trait to never say what you really think to someone's face. You wait till they leave the room to say something bad about something. This is a character trait of my mother that was my least favorite, that I really disliked. But as people have seen this film, a lot of people from around the world have all said to me, that's just like my mother. So I discovered maybe it wasn't just my family that treated each other this way.
How did this project differ from your previous films? Do you think that it shares similar themes with Mabarossi and Afterlife?
I think there is a common theme in that people have to keep on living after they lose someone important in their family. And how does someone continue living after they've been touched by death? That's a common theme. But for this movie, I wanted to create a much more detailed landscape, much more detailed family structure with the subtle movements in people's feelings and examining that through a magnifying glass.
You've said that there are no typhoons in this film. Why is that? Don't typhoons interest you?
I think if by typhoons you mean a big event, I think Hollywood films are much better at portraying big typhoons. What I'm more interested in portraying in my films is the day before a typhoon or the day after, so the result of a typhoon or the predictors, the precursors to a storm, and see how the shadow of the storm is portrayed in that day.
But not just Hollywood films. We're not seeing films like this from Japan much anymore. In the old days, filmmakers like Ozu and Naruse dealt with these kinds of things. But today, most of the films seem to be about Yakuza, and they have the same kinds of special effects that we see in Hollywood films.
Yes, that's true. Not just in Hollywood, but in Japan, the focus is really on entertainment films with big production values. And that situation is definitely the same in Japan as it is in America. We used to portray more domestic dramas and recreating real life on the screen, and that's something that's really being lost in Japan.
Like Ozu and Narissa, you seem to have put together a kind of a company of actors, people you use again and again in your film. Is that because it gives you some comfort to just know how these actors are going to be, or are these people who understand what you're trying to do?
役者によっては今回3度目だったり4度目だったりする同じ役者。
Yes, that's true. For some of the actors in this film, I've worked with them three or four times before as well. I think having a cast of characters that keep repeating, having that develop, is not necessarily a good thing. But for some of the actors, they're basically part of the staff. And if they're not there on set, it's sad or I become uneasy. But I don't want them to keep doing the same roles over and over again. I want to have them portray new roles and have new challenges and keep our working relationship fresh that way.
The ones who play the elderly parents are legendary actors in Japan, Kiki Kirin and Harada Yoshio. What would they represent to a Japanese audience?
Harada Yoshio という役者は
Yoshio Harada, I don't know how the general audience might perceive him, but for me, he is one of the people who have held up independent filmmaking in Japan his entire life. And that's true for most people my generation, I think. He's always played very masculine roles, very strong roles, and I wanted to have him play this character as a man after he's lost his power and some of his standing in life. And as for Kiki Kirin, she's not an actress who's been in a lot of movies, actually, but she's been in a lot of TV dramas, a lot of domestic dramas, and she's been portraying grandmother since she was in her 30s, actually. So she's sort of been an unusual supporting actress her whole life, and I wanted her to portray a real mother in this situation.
And you said that that you drew upon your experiences with your own mother to create that character. Did you enjoy writing that part? Because it's such a complex and subtle role.
About half the lines that the mother character says in the film are things that my own mother really said to me in my life. And so I'm credited as a screenwriter here, but she was really a collaborator for this screenplay. Process of writing her character, I remembered her, I re-mourned her at times, and then at times I would try to distance myself and observe her from a more critical point of view. So in the whole process, I really re-examined my relationship with my mother. This is something very new to me, so I haven't quite processed what it means to me in my life at this point.
You said earlier that Yoshio Harada has played the very masculine parts in the past, and here he plays the father who tends to keep himself removed from the main action, although you suspect, the audience suspects, that he's aware of everything that happens. But he even refuses to go to the store to pick up some milk because it would be undignified. Is that something typical of an earlier generation in Japan?
どうかな?
I think for him, it's not just his generation, but the fact that his profession is as a doctor. In Japan, doctors and lawyers are both very respected positions. And around town, even though he's retired, people refer to him as doctor and call him doctor when he's out there. So it's unthinkable for him to take out the trash or go to the store to pick things up. I think that's pretty standard.
I'm talking with Koreeda Hirokazu, who's, in my estimation, the finest of the contemporary Japanese filmmakers. He has directed, written, and edited his latest, Still Walking, which opens today at the IFC Center. Also with us is Chisato Uno, who is doing the translation. A lot of the action here centers around food and in the kitchen. The preparations are shown close up. How much of the action even occurs while people are eating?
There's actually not a lot of scenes of people actually eating. Most of it's spent on preparing food or cleaning up afterwards. In my memory, my mother was always in the kitchen when the family was around, and she would always be talking and gossiping while preparing food and then be complaining after cleaning up after a meal. And so eating really wasn't even the main focus of the activity, but the work that surrounds it. And I think the feelings that came up during that time was something very important to me.
Do you think that people are most open when they're engaged in domestic activities?
I think for a woman like my mother, her identity was very strongly connected to the domestic work, and she was most alive and very lively when engaged in domestic duties. And that's what people see, and that's why the grandchildren always refer to it as grandmother's house in that movie.
She's also very critical of her daughter, who was not as interested in doing the sorts of things that she does all the time. Her daughter is not interested in learning any of her recipes.
I really thought about what kind of woman would result by being raised by a mother like that, and what kind of man would she choose to marry, and what kind of domestic sphere would she have. And for that, I really referenced my own sister.
Did you do a lot of rehearsal before you shot?
Yes, we did quite a bit of table work and actual rehearsals on set for this film. But the exception to that were the children. The three kids in the movie, they didn't participate in any of the readings or any of the rehearsals. I just told them that the premise of this film is that you've gone to grandma's house for summer vacation. And then on location, I just would feed them some lines or try to move them around the set. So it was a mix of those two styles of working.
You began as a writer, didn't you? Graduated from the literature department at Waseda University?
Yes, until I actually went to college, I did really want to be a writer, but within a month of being in college, I switched my allegiance from writing to filmmaking.
Although you write your films, but it's also important for you to direct and edit them?
Yes, I love the discovery process that's involved in editing and finding out what's important through the editing process. I come from a background of making TV documentaries, in which, for example, you might have 100 hours of footage and you have to choose 1 hour from that 100 hours. And that influenced my filmmaking quite a bit. And I think even in fiction, it's very much the same thing. And through the editing process, you discern what's important in the film. This is a little bit selfish, but for a little while longer, I would like to keep doing both the directing and editing.
How long ago was this film released in Japan?
June of last year.
And what was the audience response?
I was very surprised to see people in the theater watching one of my movies and laughing so much and sighing so much and really expressing their emotional reactions. That made me very happy.
And then when you show it the rest of the world, you said earlier you thought that some of these characters were very Japanese, and yet people get it wherever you show it.
Yeah, it's still a mystery to me. I had intended I had made a piece that was really personal and very domestic, and you have these people who are very non-confrontational and show no personal growth through the film, and I thought they were very Japanese, and I was worried that the Western audiences wouldn't be able to understand them. But in Toronto, where the film had its world premiere, and in Spain, and in Paris, where in April this movie was released, people all laugh and cry in the same places in the movie, and it's really quite a pleasure for me to find this out. A lot of people are saying this is just like my family, and I'm surprised, but also very pleased, and I'm still very much in shock about this.
Do you know what your next movie is going to be about?
I've actually just finished making my film after Still Walking. Still Walking is a very domestic, naturalistic drama, so this new film called Airdolla is really quite different. The premise is with a old blow-up doll that actually develops a heart and goes out into town, learns language, falls in love, and develops a soul and becomes more and more human. So it's really sort of a love story, a fantasy, if you will.
Kore-eda Hirokazu's latest film, the one that is being released here, is called Still Walking. He directed, wrote it, and edited it, and it opens today at the IFC Center. My great thanks to him and to his translator, Chisato Uno, for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.